Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As promised, joining us in a studio this morning is Sam Grunberg. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to South Africa.
Thank you so much, Howard. Thank you for having me, and I'm so excited to be here in Johannesburg.
So tell us about Keren HaYesod.
Keren HaYesod is one of Israel's national institutions, which means we were actually formed in 1920, over 100 years ago, before the establishment of the modern state of Israel, when it was known and felt that the state was going to come about in the coming years. It ended up taking longer than expected. Mm-hmm. But if you think about what went on around that time, the Balfour Declaration, 1917, Allenby in Jerusalem in 1920. And so we were established after the establishment of the World Zionist Organization, which was, of course, Theodore Herzl in 1897. Actually, later this month, we're going to be marking 125 years since that first Zionist Congress in Basel.
Yeah.
And then KKL, Keren Kayemet, which is now known as also JNF, of course, Jewish National Fund, was established in 1901. And then in 1920, those World Zionist Organization and KKL decided we need to establish another national institution that is dedicated exclusively to raising the resources and the funds necessary for the Zionist enterprise.
Right. So, of course, it's changed over the years, the need, and it does continually change as Israel becomes militarily a little bit more comfortable, more confident, financially a little bit more comfortable and confident. What is the primary role today of Keren HaYesod?
Absolutely, you're right. Things have evolved over the years. So if you fast forward 100 or 102 years since we were established, our primary role is to raise funds from around the world, from Jewish communities around the world, also, by the way, from some of our non-Jewish, our Christian friends of Israel around the world, with the exception of the United States. That's kind of carved out for the Jewish Federations of North America. And the funds that we raise go towards three main things.
Right.
Together with our partner, the Jewish Agency for Israel, which is the fourth of the four national institutions. And it goes towards Aliyah and integration, bringing new immigrants to Israel. And since our existence, together with our partners, we've helped bring to Israel over 3.5 million new immigrants, or Olim. Mm-hmm. And that's still something, we can come back to this, that we're very much involved today, which is why it's the first of the three main things, whether it's talking about Ukraine and everything going on with the war, as well as Olim from Ethiopia and other places around the world. So number one, Aliyah and integration. Number two, strengthening Israeli society. And this is a big part of what we do together with the Jewish Agency to try to help, despite the fact, as you mentioned correctly, Howard, that Israel's come a long way in its almost 75 years militarily, economically, diplomatically. But we know that there are still wide gaps in society, especially in Israel's periphery. So we do a lot to help strengthen the weaker sectors of the population, especially outside of the major population centers, whether it's the elderly, including a lot of Holocaust survivors, youth at risk. We try to even the playing field for those that come from
a weaker. That's
interesting.
Yeah, because that's a real shift, that rather than needing it on a national level, the same type of funding and requirements, it's now shifted to specific pockets within Israeli society.
That's right.
Are you not finding, though, that, you know, as you visit a country like South Africa, where we have a diminishing Jewish community, economically it's not as comfortable. I mean, it might look so, and people are, you know, relatively comfortable compared to other areas of the world, but there has been a shift as well in terms of the South African diaspora, and I would imagine, maybe aside from the United States, this is the case, where diaspora Jewry, in fact, aren't able to provide the support as they traditionally might have had been able to.
You're absolutely right. There's been a paradigm shift where traditionally in the early years or decades of the State of Israel, it was always Israel almost exclusively looking for help. I don't want to say a handout, but in many cases a handout.
But people were literally, you know, you hear stories of 1967 of women who were taking off their gold jewelry to give it to the war effort in Israel because there was this existential threat.
That's
you know,
right.
You look at that compared to where we are today. It's very different.
Absolutely, and that's what's fascinating. We've also seen, besides the evolution of where Israel is today, we've also seen in the last 2 years with COVID.
Mm.
And you're absolutely right. The communities, whether it's in South Africa or Jewish communities in Europe or other places around the world, the emphasis or the shift of emphasis to local needs of the Jewish communities was obviously significant, and we did see that. And as a matter of fact, in terms of a paradigm shift, we saw that institutions like the Jewish Agency in Keren HaYesod, we were actually providing assistance outside of Israel to the Jewish communities. We set up, for example, during COVID, a loan fund, a fund to provide loans to Jewish communities and Jewish institutions around the world, which helped Jewish institutions because of the issues that they had during COVID. So we are seeing that shift, but that doesn't mean to say that the need for help is not still there.
Of course, of course.
And actually that brings us to the third main area, which is to strengthen the connection. Strengthening the connection, which is part of really all of the areas that we do. Strengthening the connection between the Jewish communities outside of Israel with each other, with one another, and also, of course, with Israel. And that's done through all kinds of programs, whether it's coming to Israel and immersive experiences coming, whether it's for a week, 2 weeks, a month, and strengthening the bond of this, you know, real feeling of being responsible for one another.
So there's been a lot said, and certainly I've written on it, and I felt a little bit of a shift during COVID because we weren't able to visit Israel. Israel had very much a almost an insular attitude towards COVID, which I'm not criticizing or not. Every country actually was responsible first and foremost for the health of their and survival of their own citizens. But there was definitely a sense from Jews outside of Israel, especially those of us maybe that have kids living there, that we weren't able to get there, that our kids weren't able to get here. Many people missed births of grandchildren and things, you know, and unfortunately the opposite as well, people passing away and not being able to even be there for funerals. So there was this separation, this forced separation. And there was, to some extent, this feeling that Israel is very much taking care of its own citizens rather than being a place that is home for Jews around the world. When I visited Israel in April for the first time after 2 years, I felt that shift. And I was criticized for it, but it came from a place of love, as it does, that I didn't feel quite as at home as I have in all multiple previous trips. And it bothered me. It saddened me a little bit. Is there something that you've noticed on your travels in and outside of Israel?
Absolutely. There's no question. First of all, I've heard a lot from our own Keren HaYesod leadership from all over the world. And just to give you an idea, we're in 45 countries and 60 different campaigns or communities. And we definitely heard the same sentiment, but we also felt it. The frustration, the longing, the sadness of not being able to come and visit Israel during that time. You know, like the old saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. In a certain respect, it makes us all appreciate. And by the way, it's a two-way street. Not only those Jews living outside of Israel having a greater sense of appreciation that Israel's always there, always a plane ride away. Mm. It's not always so simple. And now appreciating that. But also for Israelis, I can tell you, having Jewish tourists walk our streets. It's also something that we took for granted, and I think we will not take for granted anymore for some time. There's no question it was an unfortunate situation. I also, as a former Israeli diplomat, I was involved with a lot of people from outside of Israel reaching out to me to try to help for exactly those types of situations, weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs. It was very unfortunate. But I would mention, not as way of an excuse, but really an explanation, you know, we were dealing with such uncertain times. There was even a period of time, I want to remind you, where Israeli citizens that were outside of Israel for a short time could not return to
absolutely.
Israel.
Yeah.
But yes, it definitely does highlight this the notion of what you said, this nuance of, on the one hand, Israel being the nation state of the Jewish people, of all of the Jewish people around the world, but at the same time, first and foremost, having a responsibility to its own citizens. I could just say that I would hope that even if if things would deteriorate again in terms of COVID, that we would hopefully not find ourselves in that situation.
We are chatting this morning with Sam Grinberg. He is the world chairman of Keren HaYesod, former consul general of Israel in Los Angeles. It's 8:22. We'll be back in conversation just after this.
Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:23. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. We'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019. Any questions or comments that you might have for our guest, Sam Grinberg, who is the world chairman of Keren HaYesod, former consul general of Israel in Los Angeles. He's joining us in a studio. And the subject that I also wanted to get onto, and I'm very cognizant of the time, is your involvement in Ukraine. Obviously, this created we can't keep using the word unprecedented because it gets a bit boring, because everything in the last couple of years is unprecedented, but we've really had an unimaginable situation developing that has developed in Ukraine. Many Jews, of course, impacted by this. Tell us about your involvement.
Absolutely. You know, you asked me earlier about Keren HaYesod and what it is that we do. And I mentioned to you the fact that we've been around for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was ever a time that if people asked, why is it that Israel needs these national institutions like Keren HaYesod, like the Jewish Agency, our strategic partner on the ground, I think that it was proven during these last few months since the outbreak of the war at the end of February. We have been extremely involved working together with the government of Israel, with the Ministry of Aliyah, the ministry that deals with new immigrants, the Jewish Agency. Since the war began, we immediately launched an emergency campaign around the world in our Keren HaYesod campaigns, raised over $20 million U.S., along with other funds that were raised for the Jewish Agency. And we were directly involved in funding and helping to carry out rescue operations, saving Jews and non-Jews, I should say, from Ukraine and bringing them on Aliyah as Israelis to Israel. And this is an important fact because there are a lot of great organizations out there doing great work. But being positioned as a national institution with the special status that we have working inside of government and outside of government, it gives us the unique positioning to be able to do exactly that, to carry out these life-saving rescues and bring these people, these Jews, to Israel and Aliyah. So over about 32,000 Olim, new immigrants, have come since the outbreak of the war. That's from Ukraine and Russia and Belarus and other former Soviet Union. And just to give you an idea of numbers, that's 32,000, since the end of February. And here we're sitting today, August 3rd. Before COVID, worldwide Aliyah to Israel was about 30 to 35,000 people a year worldwide. And so we're talking 32,000 just from Ukraine, Russia, in a period of a few months. I had the opportunity to visit very much in the beginning in March and in April in Poland along the border to see the operations of our partners, the Jewish Agency, working with, as I said, the Israeli government, the Ministry of Aliyah. We headed up a delegation with the heads of the Jewish Agency, the World Zionist Organization, and also the Minister of Aliyah. And we saw what was going on at the border with Poland, especially early on coming over from Ukraine. I can tell you, Howard, it was absolutely mind-boggling to see the droves of people coming across, mainly women and children.
Yeah, because the men unfortunately weren't allowed to leave.
That's right. By law, between the ages of 18 and 60, they cannot leave. So it's mainly women and children, some elderly, and we were working there at the border. And my second trip, actually, we crossed over the border into Ukraine and visited the Israeli field hospital, which was the first time that Israel had established a civilian field hospital. It's since been turned over completely to Ukraine. And it's really unbelievable to see the, you know, saving lives. And I think to put it into perspective, you know, I'll never forget there, right along the border outside Ukraine and Poland, there was a facility actually headed up by Christian Friends of Israel, in this case from Germany, that were helping. And I met this elderly couple that were just rescued the day before, thanks to our support and efforts of the Jewish Agency. The husband was celebrating his 90th birthday, and they were Holocaust survivors.
Oh, wow.
And they were on their way, I think, the next day to go to Israel. And they told me, the couple, they said 80 years ago, they remember surviving the bombs and the bombings. and now having to go through that again. But the difference is that today there's a state of Israel. And, you know, you think about, I think it was Natan Sharansky, who was the previous chairman of the Jewish Agency, said, you know, 80 years ago, if you were a Jew in Ukraine, it was almost a certain death sentence. Today, if you're a Ukrainian, you want to be a Jew, because then you have a chance, you know, that there's a country that's looking to receive you on the other side of the border and absorb you and save you. And it's been a real privilege to be able to fulfill our role as a national institution with our partners and being involved in the efforts to save lives and to bring them as Olim in Israel.
Incredible, because those are massive numbers. I mean, to settle people and to have a system that not only can financially afford to bring people to another country, those numbers, but to actually integrate them is immense. It takes an immense amount of effort.
You're absolutely right, and it just begins when they arrive.
Exactly. To some extent, that's the easy part because it's finite. You know, it's after that when the new, you know, everybody needs a seat and everybody needs a flight. But after that, every family is nuanced and everybody needs different things as they settle into a new country.
That's right. And there are many aspects to it, like you said, but the three main things is to learn the language, to have housing, and to be able to make a living. And so those are the three main areas that we focus on together with the Jewish Agency to try to help with the Ministry of Aliyah. Of course, the government has its long-term responsibilities, as it should be on the government. But where we come in is helping to bring them to Israel, and then that first phase of the integration, helping them learn Hebrew, have a place to live, and to learn a vocation so that they can
amazing.
Integrate.
Before I let you go, are you going to be speaking at all during your trip?
Yes, so it's been great being here. By the way, the very first trip that I had to cancel with COVID a couple of years ago was a trip that was planned to come here, I think it was March 2020.
Amazing.
And it was
that's exactly when the world shut down.
Exactly. So I was supposed to be here in Johannesburg and then Cape Town afterwards. And I'll never forget that. That was the very first COVID trip cancellation that I had to do.
Well, we're very honored that we were your first.
Yeah. Yes. And so finally now I'm making it happen.
Right.
Tonight I'll be speaking in the community, and I'll be speaking in greater depth about Ukraine.
So how do we find out about it? I'm assuming we're not giving address and details on the show. But
right. So it's going to be at 7 p.m. tonight. And the best is if anyone wants to attend, and I hope you will, to call 011-645-2510 for details.
Say that again.
011-645-2510.
All right. And if you didn't get that number, just SMS us on a 34519 or 061-895-1019, and we will make sure to give you that information. It is 8:31. Sam Grunberg Wild, Chairman of Keren Hayesod, former Consul General of Israel in Los Angeles, chatting to us this morning here in studio. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.